Counter-terrorism police are leading an investigation into the killing of a British Member of Parliament. David Amos, an MP for the governing Conservative Party, was stabbed to death in a church hall at a routine meeting on Friday with members of the public to discuss their concerns. A 25-year-old man was arrested. He's believed to be a British national of Somali heritage. This was a reaction of local people to their MP's death.
I've known him as an MP for about 20 years and always raising the profile of Southend. Very proud of where he lives and his constituents.
He was so nice, people, person, loved everyone.
Such a terrible shock. He was such a good man for the area. Everybody's just stunned.
And it's so tragic. This is such a nice area. And for this to happen is, what can I say?
While there is shock that such an attack could have happened in a sleepy town in Essex in East England, there's also a dismaying sense of familiarity. 5 years ago, the Labour MP, Joe Cox, was murdered in a similar attack by a far-right extremist.
I mean, isn't this the second killing, though, of a British lawmaker in recent years?
You're exactly right. In 2016, in the midst of the Brexit campaign, a woman named Jo Cox, Labour Party lawmaker, she was murdered under very similar circumstances. The attacker was a white supremacist, ultra-nationalist who stabbed and shot her.
Her sister, Kim Leadbeater, who's since become an MP herself, told the BBC about her own concerns.
Safety is always on my mind. Everywhere I go and everything I do, and I'm really well looked after by the police. The West Yorkshire Police have been absolutely amazing. But you do think, should I go there, should I do that? And obviously you want to be accessible. You're a public servant, you're there to serve the public. And how can you do that when you don't feel safe? And how can you do it and be open and accessible, which is what I want to be as an MP?
The British government has asked police to carry out an immediate review of security for MPs. Ian Duncan-Smith, a Conservative MP and former leader of the party, explained why meeting members of the public was such a crucial part of the job.
You know, we don't wander around with security because we can't let anything come between us and our constituents. We visit them in the houses, we have our surgeries, you know, we meet them in the pubs and on the street and in the shops. That's what constituency MPs are about. And that's actually one of the great facets of British politics.
Our correspondent Rob Watson said this was a dark day for British democracy.
What I pick out, Janet, is why we're all so shocked, not just in his constituency, but over the UK and I think around the world. It's just that, relatively speaking, there is just not this kind of political violence in Britain, whether in terms of direct attacks on MPs or even in many ways in terms of violent demonstrations. And that is why it's so shocking. You're absolutely right. There was another attack in 2016 on a Labour MP, Joe Cox. But again, I mean, that was seen as a rarity. And again, it's why it stands out.
But there has been increasing concern about the abuse and hostility that MPs face. We often hear about death threats being issued against politicians. So this is a growing concern.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that this is the connection that although physical violence until now has been relatively rare, what you do hear politicians saying, and frankly, it's not just politicians, it's people across society saying, you know, we have become an angrier society. The way our politics is conducted is more and more angry. And politicians will tell you, MPs will tell you, they've certainly told me, they get death threats, they get most horrendous abuse on social media, and the way in which people talk about politics is conducted in social media, but also often even in the chamber in a very sort of sharp way. So there is that sense that, right, up until now, there haven't been these overt acts of political violence, but maybe we as a society, not just the politicians, but all of us, need to take a look at the way in which we conduct ourselves and the kind of debate that we have.
Context of white supremacy. Gusty Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Sunday, October 17, 2021. So I have been told. This is our global Sunday talk on racism, white supremacy. I always appreciate reminding and or emphasizing racism, white supremacy, global problem. I think non-white people can benefit talking to non-white people, victims of white supremacy throughout the known universe to try to get a better understanding of what it means to be white, different ways that white supremacy racism is practiced throughout the globe, and strategies, suggestions, things that non-white people can do to help solve this problem as soon as possible. The number to dial, 720-716-7300, the code 564-943-pound. I'll give out the number a few more times for folks to dial in. We'll talk to some of our folks in different parts of the planet, and then folks that are stateside, if you have questions, thoughts to share, we'll get to you a little bit later. Again, this program shorter than our normal broadcast, so definitely do not lollygag and hang out, all that stuff. If you have a question, thought that you would like to share, go ahead, get a hand up, *61. I'll give out the number a few more times as we roll. Just the segment that we started with, I guess two quick things, and then we'll get to our participants. One, most of that segment was from the BBC this weekend, where they were talking about the stabbing death of MP David Ames. And they, I hope I said his name correctly. I think that's it, David Ames. But they were talking about that on the BBC, and they said, man, this is so reminiscent of when Labour MP Joe Cox was killed in 2016. They said he was a right-wing extremist. I inserted the NPR broadcast where they did the same thing. They said, oh, man, this is so similar. Joe Cox, they didn't say right-wing extremist. You heard what they said. They said white supremacist. Call things by their proper name. All that extremist and right-winger and hard that. White supremacy racism. Call things by their proper name. But I did, and then went back to the BBC broadcast where they said, oh, yes, this was a dark day. We got Negro Friday coming up next month, Black Thursday, and all the rest of it. Dark day. And they immediately labeled this an act of terrorism. That is significant, I will say. All of the incidents of black people being killed, even matter of fact, Dylan Storm Roof, when he killed 9 people in that church in Charleston, South Carolina, including an elected official, Reverend Clementa Pinckney, state senator, they were not immediate to call that an act of terrorism. Even frequently now, it's not referred to as an act of terrorism. Let's get in some of our folks who are participating. Let's see. With us live, let's see. We should have African 1884 joining us in Austria. Are you with us, sir?
Yes, Gus, I'm here. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing a bit of your Sunday evening to chat it up with us again. Let's see. I think we have Andrew with us in the UK. Happy Black History Month, brother.
Yeah. Happy Black History Month. We can come to that a bit later on. Yeah. Glad to be here, Gus. Hi, African 1884.
Right on. Right on. Good to hear from you. We will chat about Black History Month over in England right now. Wacky times with that, as usual. We'll get to that down the road in the broadcast. Let's see, is Adam with us as well? Make sure we have some of our other international folks.
Jamie? Hello? Hello.
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm not sure if Gus is there, if there's a problem.
Oh, okay.
Gus, are you there still? Gus? There may be a problem.
Yeah, some technical difficulties.
Yeah. I'm wondering if we should wait on the line or go out and come back in.
Yeah, I can hear all of you. Yeah, we should
Gus,
should all try.
Sure, they could. Okay. Hello? Can I be heard? Gus?
Can I be heard?
Hello?
Oh, okay, can
Gus?
I be heard? Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Yeah, fine. Yeah, carry on. Yep.
That is so crazy. I could hear you all, and I hadn't muted myself or anything. I was just asking. I think it was Adam. I was just trying to get him to verify what part of the world he called in from. And I guess they didn't, you all didn't hear my question. And I was just sitting there like, oh man, what's going on here? Anyway, thank you all for your patience. Let's see. Adam, again, what part of the world are you calling in from? Oh no, I don't see him on the switchboard. That's so crazy. Oh, that's him. I got
He may have gone out to come back in, maybe.
It looks like that's what he did. All right, we got you back, sir. Adam, can you tell us again what part of the world you're dialing in from?
Sweden.
Sweden, that's it. Thank you kindly, sir. Awesome to have a nice representation from some of the different so-called European areas of the world. Let's see. I guess we'll go ahead. We can get the MP killing of MP David Ames. Get that and then move over. There's so many different things that happened. I guess, Andrew, you're right there in the UK. How has this incident been talked about? I know they said the suspect is a British national citizen. I guess was born in Somalia. I've seen pictures to know what this person looks like, how much melanin they have or don't have. But how has this incident been talked about from what you've heard?
Yeah, it's been talked about a lot, basically, on the news. And exactly what you said, you know, they made references to the last politician that was killed by that racist. As you quite rightly said as well, in the last incident, he wasn't referred to as a terrorist. He was referred to as some sort of racist or whatever, right wing, whatever, but not a terrorist. This chap was referred to as a terrorist. So I have been reading online newspapers where they basically said at the very bottom of the column, they said that it's for the investigators to determine if it is indeed a terrorist incident. So even though a lot of the news reports are saying it is a terrorist incident, the bottom of the column, it says it's for the investigators to determine if it is an incident. So you're right. You know, we know that there's double standards with this type of reporting. Basically, if you're a non-white person, you are a terrorist until proven innocent. If you're a white person, then you're anything but, and that's of color. You know, and that's the important thing.
Very important point.
Yeah, so go ahead, Gus.
Sorry, my fault. Go ahead. Finish your thoughts.
No. You know, I was just going to say, you know, that's the important thing here. You know, I mean, obviously, it's terrible that something like this could happen to anyone. You know, that he could just be sitting down talking to his constituents and someone comes in and knifes him to death. I mean, that's an awful thing to happen. But what we're talking about here is how it is, you know, what parity in the reporting happens, you know, between when these things happen. You know, one is a terrorist, the other one's anything but a terrorist. And that's the glaring double standard when it comes to reporting these things. And it's all based on color, and people have to understand that.
Glad you completed your thoughts, sir. Very important. We talked about that from an international perspective so many times. The incident in Norway in 2011, Anders Breivik, they still do not refer to that as an act of terrorism. It's very infrequent.
what you see in mainstream outlets where that's talked about anywhere in the world, where that's talked about as an act of terrorism. And that's like dozens of white people killed, where someone who wrote a manifesto planned all this out. And that's not terror. That's extremism, right wing, anything but terrorism.
That's right.
Let's see. We have folks who, even though they're not in England per se, this was a pretty big event. I mean, they talked about it a lot here in the States. It was front page news here, even in the States. African 1884 in Austria. Did you have commentary on this, or was this not as much on the radar in your part of the world?
Yes. Thank you, Gus. Thank you, Andrew. In this part of the world, it was not really reported in the media. I mean, the reason being is because I don't know if you're familiar with that, with what Austria experienced recently, because the Chancellor of Austria had to resign because he's been accused of being corrupt and everything. So they had to they ushered in a new Chancellor. So that really dominated the reports in the media. And also, what the media focused on here in Austria was the killing with a bow and arrow in Norway. There's this man that went out on a rampage and killed senior citizens. I think it was a 38-year-old man, and he went ahead and killed I think four people, if I'm not mistaken, or five, with a bow and arrow. And also, just to make reference to the situation in the UK, where due to the fact that the person that committed the act was Somalian, and then they're now saying that it's an act of terror. It was a white person, they wouldn't say that. The same thing you see happening in Norway. They've not regarded this as an act of terror. I think the man was taken into custody, and I think they're trying to do some form of, I think, where they're trying to put him into a mental institute or something like that. Yeah, so these two reports, the Chancellor of Austria being found on being told to resign due to corruption charges, and the bow and arrow attack in Norway. This is what dominated the reports in Austria. Yeah, thank you.
Well, man, I feel like, what's Woody Allen's word? A schmuck. The bow and arrow attack, I saw, like, it's been such, like, 2 years of madness. I guess for posterity's sake, if people are listening to this, hopefully racism, white supremacy has been replaced with justice. So people are listening to this maybe 50 years from now, 75 years from now. The past 2 years have been rife with so much madness. I read about a bow and arrow attack, and they mentioned the Norway attack. They said this is Norway's deadliest attack since Anders Breivik in 2011. In many reports, they'll be mentioned right together. I read about that and didn't think anything more of it because there's been so much just this week. So you had the bow and arrow attack, the killing of the MP. They dragged the paraplegic man out of the vehicle. The Stockton. The fellow was going the wrong way down the street, hopped out of the car, called the black person a nigger, and shot him 7 times.
Oh, that's wow.
In the last 5 days. And not even, you know, going through to pick out everything that happened. That's just kind of a rough glance in amidst all of the other terrorisms about school. I don't know if that's happening over there. We can talk about COVID stuff later, but that's in addition to everything else with the madness with COVID-19 and how many brawls we got to have about masks and mandates and firings and brawls on planes and everything else. It's just been, oh, yes, bow and arrow attack. Yes. Next. what a year. But African 1884, before we go to Adam. Yeah, that was Andrew, sorry.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I didn't know about did that happen in America? The you spoke about somebody coming out of a car and shooting someone X amount of times. I never knew about that. Sorry, I didn't know about that.
Yes, that was in the States. That was, I think, Thursday. I might be off on the Wednesday or Thursday. Barry Gale is his name, a black male construction worker. He had a hard day's work trying to go about his business, get to his residence. A white man, Michael Hayes, 31, not an old guy, was driving speeding the wrong way down a one-way street. Gale, black guy, he says, "Hey, slow down. Almost hit us. Will you slow down?" Michael Hayes stops the vehicle, hops out of the car, "Nigger!" and bang, shoots him 7 times.
Wow.
Mr. Gale lived, the black person. He did live, and they did eventually arrest the white assailant shooter. But yeah, that just happened within the last 96 hours or so. They just arrested the white man Friday. Like, this is all very, very current.
Wow. And that's Barry Gale.
Yes, sir.
Right. Okay. Wow. Wow.
Bobby Gale. I'm sorry. Bobby Gale. Bobby Gale. Sorry about that.
Okay. All right, no, thanks for that.
And Gus,
I had a question. California. Somebody, was it? Yes, sir.
Gus, I had a question. I think there's also I think it's very dominant in the media in the U.S. It was also reported here. I don't remember the names, but this one white male that was with a white female, and I think she's missing. It's kind of like really big in the media right now. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with that case. I think that there was a form of domestic abuse or something. Then now she's been missing for a minute, and they're kind of like treating this suspect with like a baby. They're not really going hard on him. And I believe if it was a black male, it would have been a different situation. Are you familiar with that case? I should just get the name.
Unfortunately, I am familiar. I'm not at all that you are, or that case got a lot of attention. Gabby Petito, I think that's how you say her name. That case got a lot of attention all across the world for this missing white woman. And exactly what you said. If this had been, it could have been a missing white woman and O.J. Simpson or me, buddy. Totally different treatment for the suspect in that case as well. But yeah, Pam wrote about this in her book, Trojan Horse, Death of a Dark Nation. I think she wrote about it in the Interracial Con Game too. Missing White Woman Syndrome, where they focus all this international media attention on a white woman generally. If they go missing, could be a white person in general, but especially white women. And then you can have a black person can be shot 7 times and called a nigger on camera. They have video of this. And, wow. You know, we got to get back to Gabby Petito. That, you know, we got a missing white woman. We'll get to these dead niggers. We shoot niggers all the time. That's not, you know, we'll get to that later. Maybe.
Wow. I'm looking at it on the internet now. This is crazy. Wow. Okay.
That's what I mean. Bow and arrow attack? Wow, crazy. Oh, well, got to keep moving. It's all kinds of, you know, they might shoot a black person with a bow and arrow here. You know, they had the January 6th insurrection. It wouldn't surprise me if somebody had a bow and arrow there, too. So, wacky times. I was going to ask African 1884, I guess, just with the corruption charges, can we get a little bit of the details? What were the nature of the corruption charges, one? And then I guess for some of our listeners, because I'm sure that I forgot about it. I knew and forgot. Can you give us, to your recollection, some of the details from the bow and arrow shooting in Norway of this week?
Okay, I'll start with the corruption charges. Okay, the chancellor denies this charge brought to him, you know, and it's alleged that he used government money to ensure positive coverage in tabloid newspapers and also just mismanagement of funds, you know, taxpayers' money and everything, you know. And he's pushing back on that and saying he had nothing to do with it and everything, and he's willing to be investigated. And which was supposed to happen, and then all of a sudden he just said he's resigning and everything, you know. So that kind of like quote unquote shook the nation and everything. Was a very big surprise to the white folks here in Austria. This is someone that had a very good track record with regard to him being very young, and he managed the whole COVID-19 situation in 2020 very well. Like I told you, I think I've spoken about this before, where people were just wearing masks and respecting all the guidelines and everything. So he had a good track record, and with regard to how he was, presiding over the country as a chancellor. Then all of a sudden, these allegations, mismanagement of funds, and like I said, he's pushing back on that, and he's been investigated. And while that is happening, he just chose to step down. With regard to the bow and arrow situation, like I said, the first time I heard about it, I asked if the man was non-white, you know, and I was told he was a white male, you know. He just went about just, you know, they don't even know the motive yet. And the people that he killed were between the ages of 50 and 70, the senior citizens. He killed about, I think the precise number is 5 people and everything, if I'm not mistaken. So this also, again, in no way this, because you're talking about a country where it's rare to find such incidents. There was one situation, I think this was also very famous in the media, where they had this one, what they call extremist man that killed many migrant people, and he had he was really against migration and everything, right wing type of white dude. And this happened, I think, about maybe 2 years ago and everything. And then now there's this particular person, you know, 37-year-old Danish man, goes out with a bow and arrow. And the shocking part is that, again, bow and arrow, you know, folks were like, what the hell was this dude all about, you know? But he did this act. The whole of Norway, like I said, this is a country where you have very, very few murder incidences or crimes due to murder and everything, you know. I think in 2020, they had only about maybe 10 to 20 murders, you know, very, very rare. And most of these murders happen among people that know each other. This was just a dude went out, got a bow and arrow, just started shooting at people and killed 5 people. Like I said, he's not been labeled as a terrorist. They're trying to, again, he's now in custody, but they're trying to find out exactly what the motive was. And they're treating this as, again, as someone who maybe has got mental issues. Yeah. That's all. Yeah. Thank you.
Wow. Much obliged, both for the corruption details. Words are important, journalism and the like, sounding like Richard Nixon a little bit, press manipulation. And then the bow and arrow, which is important because in terms of trying to figure out what a motive is and all the rest of it, I'm just looking at the BBC and information that they have from the weekend. And all of this is kind of evolving, so there'll be more details. They write, the suspect in a deadly bow and arrow attack in Norway has been charged with 5 counts of murder, police said Friday, and is being held in a high-security psychiatric ward rather than a prison amid concern over his mental health. Now, that is, wow. White power. And that's the same thing. Anders Breivik, who killed all those folks in 2011, he got a PS5. I think he was mad. He had a lawsuit. He had a PS3. Like, I'm not joking or being funny. Like, this is documented. He had like a lawsuit. He had like a PS3. He was like, come on, you treat me like I'm some kind of third world Negro. Where's my PS4? It's PS5 time. He killed dozens of people.
and it's gaming online, Call of Duty, and all the rest of it. They continue in the report. Espen Anderson, Brayton, I think that's how you say it. My apologies. Maybe I might be mispronouncing. A 37-year-old Danish citizen was arrested Wednesday over the attack, which took place in a Norwegian town of Kongsberg that day. Police have interviewed more than 50 witnesses. Assistant Chief of Police Per Thomas Omholt told a press conference in Kongsberg earlier Friday and are checking the suspect's digital media. Police revealed Thursday that Brayton had converted to Islam and that officers had previously been in contact with him, including over concerns related to radicalization. They don't give any details on what that is, what the contact were. Previously, they did mention Anders Breivik. So I would scroll down because they do so in this report as well. Here we go. Okay. The tragedy convinced Gar Store's announcement of the new Norwegian government Thursday coincided. Acknowledging this during a press conference in the capital, Oslo, he called it a very special day to present a new government in light of the country experiencing a horribly cruel attack on innocent people last night. He expressed his relief that Norwegian police had arrested the suspect while emphasizing that the outcome was still deeply tragic. The prime minister drew a parallel between Wednesday's attack and the gun and bomb attacks carried out in Norway in 2011 by far-right extremist Anders Behring Breivik, not white supremacists, adding that two ministers in his new government were survivors of those attacks. It was an act of terrorism, and this act that happened yesterday naturally reminds us of those who have experienced such terrible things, and we will stand by them. I could be misreading, but this sounds like they're calling the incident that happened this week with a bow and arrow an act of terrorism. That's interesting for a lot of reasons. We just talked about that when this word gets used, especially if they're saying that this person converted to Islam, so they get to say that in 1 week, you had two so-called Islamic extremist attacks. Killing of MP David Ames, and then this bow and arrow attack. And they call them both immediately terrorism. And I think these could both be individuals who are classified as white. I'm not even sure. They did say that the first person, the suspected killer of David Ames, born in Somalia, they say. We'll have to see. I haven't seen pictures of what this person looks like.
Yeah, nor have I, Gus. There's been no pictures of him, of this person. So, yeah, that'd be interesting to see if and when they release any.
Yes, and it should be a trial. You have somebody in custody, right? Should be, you know, answer to their crimes and all that. Let's see what this person looks like.
Yeah.
Let's see. Adam? He is in Sweden, so none of these events took place in your part of the world. So were any of these incidents, were they big news? Gabby Petito, maybe, was that the big coverage in Sweden, or were they talking about any of these other events?
No, not really. It's been most about unvaccinated people such as myself and a bombing in Gothenburg of an apartment building.
Wow. Do you have any details on the bombing?
Not really. It was those kind of things. I kind of saw it. I was like, oh, you know, there's been so much of just chaos. So.
Wow. Do you have that in the... That is crazy. I have to check. That's why I said the bow and arrow, because it's just been so much craziness in things that have been going on. Oh, I do see that online. An apartment, but that is wild. These are the times. That's why I've been ending the program and saying, hey, be alert when you go out, seemingly all over the world. Bombing of an apartment that they're still talking about in Sweden. Killing of an elected official. Bow and arrow attacks. and then just the what they call run-of-the-mill white terrorism, gunning black people down and calling them niggers. Be very alert when you're out and about. I'll give out the number again, 720-716-7300, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Now, the front page here, like the New York Times and several other mainstream, like white-dominated outlets, on their front page today, they had a report on a kidnapping in Haiti. Now, talk about, you know, it's just been craziness with the earthquake, assassination of President Jovenel Moïse. So I'm saying his name correctly. But with all of the disruptions that they've had in that part of the world, the front page of the paper was about Christian missionaries being kidnapped in that part of the world. We'll just hear a short snippet just to get some of the details and get folks' thoughts on what they think this may mean in terms of motivating white aggression or white action in this part of the world. But this is just from earlier today when this was reported, just a few hours before we went live.
17 American missionaries, including children, were kidnapped yesterday by a gang in Haiti. The Ohio-based Christian Aid Ministries said that they were on their way home from helping to build an orphanage. The Caribbean nation is still reeling from the events following the assassination of President Jovenel Moïse in July and a deadly 7.2 magnitude earthquake. Widor Merancourt is the editor and chief of the Aibo Post, and he joins us now from Port-au-Prince to tell us more. Hello.
Hello.
It is good to have you. What is the latest on the location of the missionaries?
Well, a lot of details are still yet to be uncovered because the information was circulating early in the morning yesterday. That what we do know is they were on the way to the airport when they were kidnapped. So the gang that is allegedly responsible for the kidnapping of these missionaries and other people is responsible for the most cases of kidnappings that we see in Haiti this year. And they are very well known because, you know, this is their brand, kidnapping people.
Has the U.S. government said anything about the search? I mean, do we know if they are involved at all?
Well, the U.S. Embassy in Haiti is involved, but they are not giving a lot of details. I mean, it's a sensitive matter. It's expected that they would not be in the press commenting. Mm. But they confirm that they have this information and the well-being and the safety of U.S. Citizens, their priority.
We are, of course, talking about U.S. citizens at this particular point in time. You also mentioned, of course, that Haitians were kidnapped, and Haitians are dealing with this insecurity every single day. Can you just take me to Haiti right now and tell me what it is like there with gangs kidnapping people seemingly at random and without any real control?
Yes, exactly. The wave of kidnapping that we are seeing in Haiti right now is the worst in the history of the country. The kidnapping of this year is already sixfold more than what we saw last year for the entire year. And Haiti have the highest rates per capita kidnappings of the world, more kidnappings than Mexico City, Bogota, and Sao Paulo combined. It's a very dire situation. Kids, children are being kidnapped. Women are being kidnapped. Practically everybody. You see police officers being kidnapped, but you see, you know, small merchants on the street being kidnapped. Sometimes they ask for a lot of money. They can ask for $3 million. But sometimes when they kidnap the poor person on the street, they will settle for as little as $100. So it's something that most Haitians are living with. A lot of people choose to not go in the street because they are afraid. In Port-au-Prince, when it's 6 p.m., 7 p.m., you can see how little traffic you have in the street because of this kidnapping problem. I mean, 5 minutes from where I live yesterday, police officers were chasing a couple of guys that just kidnapped someone. The police officers are notoriously not well equipped to deal with this situation, and most Haitians are living with, you know, this fear of being kidnapped. And you have also a wave of people leaving the country because of that.
Widore Mehanko is the editor and chief of the Aibo Post in Haiti and a contributor to the Washington Post. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Context of white supremacy. That might, the kidnapping of these Christian missionaries, that might fall under the same rubric as Gabby Petito, missing white woman syndrome. Maybe. Had folks heard about this, and do you have thoughts on how this could be used or why this is even, as I said, front page news, system of white supremacy? Obviously, we can start with that was Andrew.
Go ahead, Gus. Carry on.
I was just going to pick out, Trotter, since we have at least three folks, feel free if you have thoughts, sir.
I've not heard of this, but I did just have a look on the web about it. At the moment, Haiti, as we all know, is in a crazy situation at the moment. I mean, obviously, it was a poor country anyway, going back years, like many Caribbean islands. You know, I mean, it was my family come from Jamaica, not too far from Haiti, or Haiti, and then you had the first earthquake. And then you had the killing of the president recently, and a second earthquake as well, and so you got, even from the first earthquake, you've got a whole heap of issues from that time. You've got gangs, there's loads of there's lawlessness, honestly, on the street in Haiti. There's no-go areas and all the rest of those things, and there is a lot of kidnappings that happen in Haiti. There's a lot of kidnappings. I don't know the complexion of these missionaries, these Christian, so-called Christian missionaries. You see, the problem, another problem in Haiti that people may not know about, is that there's been loads of child abductions. You've got a lot of foreigners coming in, literally stealing children. Right. So, the way this has been reported that I've read is that these people have gone in to do a bit to build a school or some sort of place for young people. That's the way it's been reported. For me, I always, sorry, but since, now that we know what we know about so-called missionaries that go into non-white, i.e. black countries, we know that a lot of these people go into molest children. We know that. Right. It's been reported. We've had TV programs in the UK about foreigners that going under, through so-called, aid organizations, NGOs, they go in and they basically kidnap kids and molest kids. That's what they do. Or basically take advantage of women, it's just because obviously you've got an imbalance of power. You've got people going in with money and poor women, and they basically sell their bodies to these rich people that are now in their countries. So the way it's been reported to the reality of the situation, I'd like to, there may be a reality gap between what's reported and an honest truth, and I think we have to understand that. And this is historical with Haiti. It goes, the issue with Haiti is that it goes right the way back to the fact that that's the only set of Africans in the Americas that won their freedom, beat the Europeans and won their freedom. And personally, I think white people have never forgiven Haitians for that fact, but where Haiti is now really is that we African people that are around Haiti, we really need to help our, I'm going to say it, we have to help our brothers and sisters to reconstruct that island, because Europeans, the Americans, if they go in, the American government, state, if they go in, all they're going to do is continue the exploitation of our brothers and sisters on that island. So we need to go in and and bring order to that island, because that's what it needs. It needs order. But I don't believe Europeans nor the American government is going to bring that. They have no vested interest to bring order to the island or any other part of the Caribbean. In fact, all the CIA has ever done in the Caribbean is bring division, destruction and mayhem, which is what they've done in Jamaica in the 70s and what they tried to do in Cuba after the Cuban Revolution. So that's the history of Europeans in the Caribbean, that and child molestation. So and it's been documented. So these people that went in and just killed, you know, the recent president, right? Who's to say, right, that that's not the CIA that sent that person in, those people in as well, right? So there's no history, I believe, of Europeans doing anything good for any Caribbean island. And I don't think they're going to start now. And that's my personal view.
Much obliged, Adam, in the UK. African 1884 in Austria. Any thoughts on this report, Christian missionaries kidnapped in Haiti?
Yes, Gus. I haven't heard from it until you spoke about it. And it's quite interesting because I just started reading up on the institution. I think they're called Christian Aid Ministries. And we're talking about an institution of white people that is operating, I think, in many countries. And I believe many of them are countries that are predominantly black, you know, 133 countries, and providing services to 14 million people in 2020. That's what's recorded. I didn't hear about this. And honestly speaking, just like what Andrew said, we know what missionaries, white missionaries' aims are. So I think they deserve what they got, you know. And then just like what you said, I think it's going to be headlines, you know, just like the Gabi situation and everything, you know. And it's the things that sometimes how these things are reported by white supremacists is they provide the narrative like, okay, we're trying to help you, so why are you now kidnapping us? You know what I mean? So the narrative is put in a way where, you know, they're not really revealing the truth, in the sense of these people are going there to confuse black people, you know, and mistreat black people, you know. But the narrative in the media is like, okay, listen, we've been doing God's work. We're trying to provide services to you heathens and everything. And now this is what we get in return, you know. So it's pretty interesting. Again, it's just white supremacy at work. Yeah, thank you for that.
Much obliged. African 1884. Wanted to make sure that I got in to Andrew's point about the assassination of President Moise. The initial reports, and when I say initial, like within the first 24 hours, 36 hours of the murder, there were numerous reports that where witnesses testified that some of the suspected killers, folks who were on the scene in this coordinated effort, were saying that they were DEA agents, Drug Enforcement Agency. That's, you know, right there, part of the network with the CIA. We talked about that, in fact, on the program back when we were first talking about the assassination a few weeks back. Adam, with us in Sweden, any thoughts on this report, this kidnapping of Christian ministry missionaries in the area of the world known as Haiti?
I've just found out about it, so I have to give it more thought before I give my opinion.
Definitely respect that. And this is new. Like, this was like front page today. This wasn't something that, you know, they've been talking about all week long and what have you. Like, literally, when I woke up this morning and checked, bang, it was right there. The report that we heard that said, the one that I just played, that was just published a few hours ago. So this is all pretty recent, very unfolding. We can all do some research and check back in and see, you know, how all this has evolved after a week or so.
Let me double check. If folks have questions they want to take advantage, ask any of our participants, victims in different parts of the world. Again, this is not like our normal broadcast, so we have about 30 minutes left in the broadcast. If you have a question, some of the issues that we touched on or what have you, feel free, 720-716-7300, the code 564-943-pound. Press star 61 if you would like to participate. While we have such a representation of folks, and I'll check in to see if there are topics or commentary that you want to make sure you share as well. They have talked so much about air rage and people being disruptive, white people being disruptive on flights, not wanting to wear masks, and just they've had to land the flight. They went to Congress to beg for assistance. They have a whole like 2-hour session where flight attendants and different air personnel, they come on to talk about the unruliness and disruptive behavior. Has that been the case in your respective parts of the world? Have there been reports about people just gross misconduct and flights having to be land and people feeling unsafe because of unruly behavior in the air? African 1884, any of those types of reports in Austria?
No, in Austria, I mean, it's like I said, with the former chancellor, Sebastian Kurz, and I think I've made reference to this before, they've really managed the whole pandemic and people following the guidelines, you know. So there have not been any reports of people being, going against the guidelines on flights or at the airport. However, there have been recently a group of people that are being mobilized because as since 2020, slowly by slowly, people are, there's still some form of pushback and the small sectors of people that are grouping together to provide, you know, in the sense to push back on the vaccination. It's not yet mandatory in Austria to get vaccinated. However, they're making reference to trying to make it mandatory for people that work in hospitals or people that work in restaurants and everything. So small groups of people that have been demonstrating, but the government does not really take them seriously because the majority of the people are really like, you know, on code with taking the vaccine and boosting up and everything, you know, taking the third and the fourth shot or something like that. So, but yeah, no disruption at airports or on flights in Austria. Thank you.
Austrians behaving on flights. That's one. I think he said that consistently, that they have following the rules, wearing the masks, behaving. Small group of protesters about vaccine mandates, but no mandate thus far. Let's see. Andrew, in the UK, have there been any reports? Britain's getting on flights and, you know, being disruptive and, you know, unruly. I'm not going to wear a mask and all the rest.
There's been the odd report. You know, there's been the odd report, but to be quite honest with you, I mean, by and large, I think people have been very compliant. I think people are just happy to either, you know, be able to get away or, you know, fly away or come back to the UK. You know, I think there's been enough problems with having to pay for some sort of COVID test, which has been, it's actually quite a lot of money. You know, if you're taking away a family of three or four on holiday, I think the concern has been about the cost of the, of, you know, of the tests. So if you're going to pay, I think the feeling is if you're going to pay all that money for tests, then to play around and not wear a mask and be then thrown off a flight, which is what would happen, then and lose thousands of pounds. I think that's been the major concern of people, you know, because you know it's not cheap to fly. Do you know what I mean? So I think that's been the major concern. There has been, I do remember over the last few months the odd person refusing to wear a mask and being removed. I do seem to remember those kind of stories in the news, but you know, it costs so much money to fly. I don't think, you know, it's not been something, it's not been a place where people want to make a protest, you know, that I can see because of how much it costs.
Now that is interesting, because there have been, the reason I'm asking, because there have been so many reports of disruptions, and they just were in Congress trying to get assistance for all of this. And even so serious that they've had reports contemplating discontinuing the sale of alcohol on planes to get people to behave. Because they said a lot of these incidents, people have been under the influence. So, and I've never heard that even contemplated. So apparently it must be a serious problem. Price has not seemed to mitigate. Like, it doesn't seem like anyone is saying, man, we paid a lot of money for these tickets and all the rest of this. Let me, you know, behave so we can just get where we're trying to go and not risk getting thrown off a plane. Like, no deterrent at all. Even white children have run amok and got on planes and threatened people, and I'm not going to wear a mask and all the rest. It's been, that's what I said, the bow and arrow. Add that to the list. It's been, you know, chaos every day. Adam, in Sweden, are people behaving on flights there, or have they been, you know, misbehaving there also?
I haven't seen any report of chaos in the air, but mostly the tackiness is at the check-in. Nothing newsworthy, but my dad worked at the airport, so I hear all these stories.
Wow, your father, has there been any sort of issue in terms of, and they've had, I guess, pretty lax protocols over there about COVID-19. You talked about they didn't do all the big shutdowns and all of that. So for your dad, like, has he been concerned, like, with travel, like, for his safety, like, you know, to try to, is he doing, like, does he have a procedure to try to minimize the likelihood of him getting COVID?
I think they wear masks, but that's it.
Wow. Has he been vaccinated?
Yes.
Okay. Did they require it, or was that a voluntary thing?
Yeah, voluntary.
Okay. Now that, even contrast that with here in the States, where they, that's another one, where they got going to court, lawsuits and all the rest of it. I think they fired like 1,000 workers from one of the airlines over the vaccines, because they have mandates here for a lot of the airport personnel. No ifs, ands, or buts. No tests. Got to be vaccinated or you are out of here. Let's see. I didn't really get our COVID check-in, but I'll say that because there's so much wackiness. I wanted to make sure that I got in. It is Black History Month over in Britain in October, every October. Andrew sent us a report this week. I'll read a little bit of it so you all will have what I saw. So they have the UK version of Yahoo, right? I'll post the link so y'all can check it out. So the report is titled, Black History Month website brands white people genetically defective descendants of albino mutants. This is from the beginning of the month, and they have a picture of the grandsister, Dr. Francis Cress Welding. So I'll read some of it. It says, a Black History Month website controlled by a white man featured taxpayer-funded adverts alongside claims that white people are the genetically defective descendants of albino mutants. A Telegraph investigation has found. That is not even what Dr. Welsing says. Genetically defective descendants of albino mutants. The albino mutants are the descendants. Genetically defective. Yeah, the albino mutants would be the descendants. The defective descendants are albino mutants. Defective descendants are albino mutants of black people. That's the way she would be saying it, not this way. This makes it seem like the black people, non-white people, are the albino mutants. Anyway,
adverts for organizations such as the police and M16 ran alongside the anti-white propaganda, which also included the claim that a white man can fantasize he is equal. Oh, there we go. Fantasize that he is genetically equal to the black male. The website removed some of the most problematic content after it was contacted by the Telegraph amid fierce criticism from one of the founders of Black History Month celebration. The Black History Month website, which is linked to a magazine of the same name, is the first to appear in online searches for Black History Month and has included content by renowned black figures as well as the leaders of all major political parties. However, it is owned by a private business controlled by Ian Thomas, an advertising executive who set it up long after the annual celebration was established. On Friday, Linda Bellows, who was instrumental in launching the Black History Month celebration in the UK in the late 80s, compared the website's white ownership to enslavement. The whole purpose of Black History Month is to empower us black people. I don't want some white man or even white woman playing that role, she said. Ms. Bellows also condemned some of the content as loopy theories that should absolutely not be associated with Black History Month, which takes place in the UK every October. The report goes on, but I will stop there to give even more. Oh, let me give one more, said. He admitted in, make sure I give the fella's full name again here. Ian Thomas, there we go, Ian Thomas. So Ian Thomas says, that some of the anti of articles that had pledged to broadcast the theories of controversial American psychiatrist Dr. Frances Cress Welsing from her following her tragic death in 2016. These included claims that a white man giving gifts of chocolate candy with nuts for Valentine's Day can fantasize that he is genetically equal to the black male when their sweetheart eats them, and that the Holocaust was carried out to illustrate to all non-white ethnicities that they are in peril of extermination. And I'll stop there. Again, Andrew found this. This, I guess, caused a big hubbub right at the beginning of Black History Month. What did you make of this? Did you hear any folks talking about this over in your part of the world?
No, I didn't hear anyone talking about it. I just came across it and I just thought, wow, look at that. So you see the problem with Black History Month, I don't know how it works in, I think you guys do a Black History Month, is it in February? I'm not sure. But
yes, sir.
Here it's done in October. And just, you know, for people that don't know, you know, Linda Bellows is an interesting character. I've not seen her on TV for quite a long time, right? So I'm just reading off the internet here, you know, and to be honest, I forgot who Linda Bellows actually was. I've not seen her on TV. She used to be on, you know, sort of various sort of political programs on the TV, I think, and bits and pieces like that. I can't remember her exact political history, but yeah. But anyway, Bellows is a radical feminist. And was that's how Wikipedia describes her, and was the first non-white lesbian to join Spare Rib Feminist Collective in 1981. I haven't heard the name Spare Rib for years. She criticized, and I didn't know she was a member of it. She criticizes the movement's points going, but it goes on and on and on and on. She criticizes the movement. She's she's of African and Eastern European Jewish heritage. She describes herself as black. And so that's who Linda Bellows is. You know, I think that sort of tells you a little bit about what's going on here. The problem with Black History Month, right, in the UK, is that everything we see on in white controlled media, really, is really just white people doing what white people do. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love seeing black programs that I've not seen for years on the BBC, you know, during October. You know, I love seeing, you know, interesting black programming and all that. We all do. Of course we do. And the problem with it is that after October, it all stops. You know, and so you know, what about November, January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September? Do you know what I mean? And so this is the obvious problem with what we call Black History Month in the UK. And then another problem with it is that obviously if these websites and stuff like that are owned, controlled by Europeans or white people, then when it comes to our people, people like Francis Creswell-Zing and Dr. Francis Creswell-Zing and other people talking about Marcus Garvey and anyone else, you're either going to get a skewed interpretation of it by some stupid reporter, like in this article. It doesn't even, you know, doesn't even explain Dr. Creswell-Zing's theory correctly anyway. You know, there's no debate about it. There's nothing about it that makes any sense. Right. So how Dr. Creswell-Zing is viewed is in a negative light, that in a way that it's not, he's done, you know, just misreporting anyway. Right. So this whole thing about us controlling our own image, our own media, our own everything, then becomes important. And if we honestly believe that, you know, white people are going to give us money to do anything constructive for us, right, then we can think again, right? We can think again. You know, we get given a month and some money by white people in England to muck around and do stuff in October, right? It's just a bit of a waste of time. It's just a lot of nonsense. You know, it's a lot more important, I believe, to focus on what we want to do, how we want to do it for 12 months a year. You know, that makes more sense than to basically get hot, you know, to go bonkers or go crazy looking at white media for 1 month and thinking everything, because it lulls you into a false sense of security. You know, that's what it does. Do you know what I mean? You know, that actually the country's all right. Just because the BBC has got Black History Month plastered, you know, in their background when they're doing, you know, their morning, their good morning program. Do you know what I mean? You know, we you know, don't, you know, a lot of us in the UK get fooled into thinking, actually, it's not that bad living here. You know, and that's the big problem with this whole Black History Month thing in England, in the UK, in October. You know, and we really need to get our heads out, you know, our snouts out of that trough, right, so to speak. I know it's a metaphor, sorry, Gus, and begin to really focus on what we want for our people worldwide, you know, and not get fooled into thinking the UK is all right just because they, quote unquote, celebrate us for 1 month. You know, and they don't, because when we want to talk about Dr. Francis Creswell-Zing, we've got a lot of white liberals and whatever or white media types digging and reporting incorrectly, you know, and talking a lot of nonsense. And then our people are going to read that and think Dr. Francis and not go and read Dr. Francis Creswell-Zing for themselves, you know. And so these are just a few of the issues here, you know. I mean, don't get me, as I said, we all love watching stuff about ourselves that makes sense during this month, but it's, you know, you don't get lulled into this false sense of security, which is what happens.
Much obliged, Andrew. You would be, I don't know what the correct word is, reviled, disgusted, disappointed, crestfallen to know how applicable many of your remarks are to the celebration of Black History Month across the pond, probably at anywhere else in the world where they have Black History Month. But whew, like, put up a Black Lives Matter placard in the Apple Store and wow, confusion run amok. Like, racism is almost vanquished. Let's see. I see folks did dial in with a question. We'll nab them as well.
Did African 1884, I know you are familiar with Dr. Welsing's work. Did you have any commentary on this piece? They might as well have said pseudoscientific BS, talking about the looniness of Dr. Welsing's work.
I mean, thank you for sharing the article. And while Andrew was providing his position and speaking to what he knows, I was reading up on it. And I think I understand it that, so this is a website that's controlled and managed by a white person. And they put a picture of Dr. Welsing and put that statement there. Is that accurate?
Yes. There was some sort of brief snippet of information about her work that may or may not have even been accurate to what Dr. Welsing said. But yes, white controlled picture of Dr. Welsing. Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is just like, just like what Andrew said, I mean, if a lot of our people that are not into the scholarship and trying to understand what Dr. Welsing was trying to communicate to us with regard to the system of white supremacy, we'll just look at that and just run with it, you know. So it's really unfortunate that you have white supremacists, tarnishing her reputation. I just read the article on this, and I think the pushback from this, from the sister, I don't know if I should call her sister, I'm not quite sure, Linda Bellows, should have come a bit harder than what she said and everything, you know. I think she kind of like trying to distance herself from that content, but again, I think she should have come differently. But again, VGQ, you know, that's all I have to say.
Victims guaranteed qualified. VGQ. Always great to minimize conflict with other victims of racism. Let's see. Before I nab our caller, Adam in Sweet, did you have any thoughts? This whole conflict, Dr. Welsing's representation in Black History Month over in the UK?
I thought it was interesting that the word tragic is in quotes, right under the anti-white content removed. I thought that was interesting.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, where's that?
As though maybe it wasn't true. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was only saying, where's that quote from, basically.
Excellent point as well. That's, you can quote things a lot of times. Like, they'll quote a lot of times if somebody says that, you know, a person is racist, they'll put that in quotes to make sure that I'm not saying that this person is racist, someone else. But, I mean, someone dying being tragic, generally everyone, yeah, that's tragic that they died. Why is that in quotes? Where is it from? But why did that need to be in quotes? Like, tragic. Good riddance. Almost like wow. Words are important. I'll post this report if folks want to check it out. If you're listening live or archives, I'll tweet it out and all the rest so people can check this out. Much obliged, Andrew, for sharing. Let's see. Folks who dialed in with a question. There we go. Caller Rachel in New York. If you had a question for Adam, Andrew, African 1884, all A's, you should be with us.
Good afternoon to all. My question is this: in order for children to better understand this world, what is one thing you would teach or tell your children or child about racism and white supremacy?
Attentive parenting, hard work. Little one wanted to talk too. That's a great question. I know we have some attempted parents here. So, yeah, in order to help us get this problem solved, information that you think we should definitely be sharing with offspring. Let's see, African 1884. I know you have young children, so but you should be thinking about this because you'll have to share this information at some point. African 1884.
Yes, Gus, that's accurate. I'm an attempted parent. So my response would be, first, let me provide some context. Growing up, unfortunately, my parents and being raised in Uganda, and I think I would say this as a generalization with regard to all African people on the African continent, our parents or grandparents never spoke about white supremacy, never spoke about colonialism, never spoke about slavery. You know, it's not really emphasized as much. You know, so for me, growing up, I didn't know all this information. You know, so I started getting all this knowledge and reading up on the Nation of Islam, Khalid Abdul Muhammad, Marcus Garvey, Amos Wilson, at the age of, say, 25. That's when I started getting into this. You know, so it was a pretty late age, you know. And I promised myself that, because I have a one-year-old son, he's 1 year right now, 1 year and 10 months, that I will not do that with him. I mean, once a child is able to understand or starts asking questions, I should be, as an attempted parent, be able to communicate with them and provide them the whole truth. Again, I don't want it myself. I got this knowledge at a very, very later age and stuff, you know. So I want to do it differently and everything. Once they start asking questions, just tell it to them as it is, you know. But don't force it on them. You know, kids tend to see these things at a very early age, and unfortunately, with some parents, when kids are asking questions, maybe you cannot be able to explain something, you tend to tell them, just shut up, you know, or don't ask me that question, or why do you want to know? Just keep quiet, you know. I don't intend to be that kind of parent. I plan to communicate this information and honestly talk about white supremacy and specifically about white people, you know. That's what I intend to do. Yeah, that's my response.
Make it plain, very important, and just not lying to our offspring. Super important, answering their questions truthfully. Let's see. Andrew, also unattempted parents in the UK, at least one bit of information that you think is super crucial to share with non-white offspring.
Wow, that's that one piece of information. Oh God. Sorry. Okay. I'll be quick. Personally, as a teacher, I would say homeschool your kids, your children, or move to Africa, one or the other. And I say that as a teacher who's been teaching in schools for 20 years. I would also say, have lots of books in the house, by black authors that prefer, anyway, yeah, have lots of books in the house. Teach about a united Africa and all of the famous Pan-Africanists. Teach Nila Fuller's Cold Book, Dr. Welsin's Theory, or the ISIS Papers. Teach your children how to create their own businesses. And also the fact, sadly, that white people are racist and that they are race first. So we need to be race first, you know. So that's Garvey, you know, so all of the above, you know, that's what I would say. So I didn't have just one. Apologies.
Right on. Reading is more important than watching television. Let's see. Adam, in Sweden, at least one bit of information that you think super important that we share with our offspring. Did we lose Adam? Let me double check. Make sure we didn't lose him. Mm-hmm. even trying to think. Am I supposed to answer? I am not an attempted parent, but asking questions. Oh, he got muted. There we go. Got him back. Adam in Sweden. One tidbit that you think super important we share with non-white offspring.
Well, I'm 22 years old, so if, I'm not planning to have any kids, but that's something to think about. So, I appreciate that from the caller. I got to think about it some more, though.
Thinking is allowed and encouraged. Love it. And especially at a young age before you have children, that is the best time before they get here to be thinking like, wow.
Yeah, I just opened a document.
System of white supremacy. I'm sorry, sir?
I just opened a document that, with that title so I can write things down, what I'm going to say.
Music to my ears. Love it. Love it. That is the intelligent way to do things. Write that information out before conception. So I have put some thought into this, maybe even years of thought into this. What I would tell you, what I think is really important, kind of drive these points home so that you have this information moving forward in life. Like that is, we just talked about this on yesterday. Compensatory call-in wasn't even a black person. Non-white, non-black person, so-called Asian, was talking about, man, my parents, she said it explicitly, my parents did not teach me how to talk to white people. They did not teach me how to talk, or they did not teach me about racism. Widespread problem. And white people do the exact opposite. We talked to white people on this program who said, hey, my parents sat me down at 5, 6, and were explaining to me what it means to be white. And we had white people on who were parents who said they sat their children down. In fact, we had a white man, he said he took his child to the playground and they just looked at the black people. And he asked them, what are your observations? Compare and contrast.
Gus.
Very important. Andrew, yes, sir.
Gus, I just want to add one other little thing. As much as we can, I know we're all attempted parents, and sadly, maybe our children will be too, but let's do what we can to try and teach them how to stay married. Not just get married, but stay married. You know, that's quite important because obviously we want our grandchildren to have the best possible start in life. And that's normally with two parents in one house with two incomes. So, I just want to add that. And that kind of role modeling as well. So, yeah, if possible.
For sure, if possible. It is, I know it is a strain. I guess one thing I would say is to be honest about racism, white supremacy in the forefront in that whole arrangement as best you can. I think that can be helpful in having at least an arrangement where you all talk about, acknowledge racism, white supremacy on a regular basis. And that's kind of part of the foundation of the arrangement. That could be helpful, but that is tough under the system of white supremacy and designed to be tough.
Yep.
Gus, could I add something, if you don't mind?
African 1884, yes, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to contribute also, just to piggyback on what you just said, acknowledgement, you know, and I think, I mean, this experience that I made with black people, the older you get, the more you feel that it'll be, the more you feel based on your ego that it's bad to acknowledge the existence of white supremacy. You know, so what tends to happen is this. So the children will come and ask you questions, or your child will ask you a question. And maybe the question will be, so if that is a problem, how do you solve it? Why haven't you solved it? You know, so being honest with regard to the responses to these questions is very important. You know, and don't, we should try, you know, and myself, I struggle with that too. And I know I will struggle with that in the future too, you know, because I do talk to my wife and everything, and we discuss this in detail and everything. And
and you're supposed to stand here mainly as a black male, and you're supposed to be in a world where you're managing all your affairs. You know what I mean? In some cases, that's not how it is. You know, so acknowledging that does not mean that you're less than. You know, so even with a child, when a child is talking to you, you shouldn't feel that, you know, you have to lie to them or print a picture that everything is perfect just because you feel that if you speak the truth, then your ego will be more or less, again, tinted or something like that. You know, I just want to share that. Thank you.
Love it, love it, love it, love it. That is a big one. And really, it shouldn't be. In 2022, I mean, hey, they got regular citizens leaving the planet, so they say, and all the other wacky technology that exists right now. Like, hey, I do not know everything. I am still learning. That's something that, you know, should be proud to announce. I'm still learning. If you come up with a question and I don't know the information, and that's probably going to happen frequently, it'll be an opportunity for us both to learn. So, yeah, in fact, that would be my one, as someone who does not have children at all. Encourage your children to ask questions, like to never be, because I think that was exactly as African 1884 said, lots of us, we get kind of programmed to be ashamed. Oh, I don't know that. Tell me some more information about that. I don't know that. It's the first time I heard that. I don't know what that word means. You know, no, I don't know anything about the bow and arrow attack. I've never heard that before. Like, you get embarrassed. And a lot of times racists, they will try to shame you or make you feel stupid. That's the kind of culture that they've created. Oh, you don't know anything about that. Oh, you're some idiot and all the rest of it. Do not feel ashamed or embarrassed about not knowing something. No one is born knowing all the information that they need. Any, in fact. So you have to be taught, whether you do it yourself, books, and even then, someone else is educating you indirectly, generally. So never be ashamed. Ask questions and make sure you get your question answered. But ask questions. Be curious. Be curious your entire life. Try to find out as much as you can so that you are well informed about things that are happening around you, around the universe. Ask lots of questions. If you can, because I think that gets extinguished in children, where they should be curious about everything and excited to learn, and that just gets totally extinguished. Like you said, you know, get fussed at for asking questions. You ask too many questions. Shut up about all that. Stop asking all that, you know. Try to do the exact opposite so that they can maintain that real zest and enthusiasm, excitement, really, about seeking information. Let's see. We did our full 90, all of the wackiness that is happening. We should be here next month. That is November 3rd, Sunday of every month, our Global Sunday Talk on Racism. We'll kind of see. That'll be in the middle of the so-called holiday season. So we'll see what's happening there as far as the COVID-19. Things are looking like they're heading in, I guess, a better direction with all that, or if it's just going to be more craziness. Much obliged to everyone who hung out, tuned in for the broadcast this, or I guess afternoon, evening, wherever you are in the universe. Much obliged to Andrew in the UK, African 1884, Austria, Adam in Sweden. Love it. Got a new folder started on information to share with future offspring. Like, all of us should have such a folder well before the child is conceived. Sobriety would be best under conditions of white supremacy racism. We need healthy brain computers to solve this problem. If you're going out and about, man. Pleasant sight, as they say, had to sneeze. If you're going out and about, So we had the bow and arrow attack in Norway. Bobby Gale shot 7 times, called a nigger, Stockton, California. Apartment bombing, Sweden. David Ames, MP, stabbed to death in Britain. If you're going out and about, be alert. Very turbulent times, very violent times. You do not want to just be aimlessly bopping around, especially if you are a black person. Be mindful about what's happening around you. If it looks like somebody is being hostile, rowdy, this is not a time for verbal confrontations. Exit. If you didn't leave your house prepared to kill and or die, you should be out of there. You have no idea if this person is armed, has a bow and arrow, has a whole gang also with bow and arrows. If you're going to be driving, you are sober, you are buckled, and you are not on your cellular. We need all of our attention, and we're trying to do just the small things that we can control to minimize contact with race soldiers, badge or no. All of that said, Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. Grandsister Dr. Francis Cress Welsing, reading more important than watching television. Maybe I would say that if I had offspring, no television. That would be one. Add those two to the list. If you have offspring, no television in the house. I think that's one of the best things folks can do. So many people talk about, and I'm sure we don't even know all of the layers of damage and in terms of brain trashing of having those television programs and having especially young people who have access to that. No TV in the house. Books, plans about starting a business. Think Andrew was talking about that, but no television in the house. Lots of books. Reading is more important than watching television. And that is evidenced by what we have in the house. Lots of bookshelves, no television. Cal signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim,
your
brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my condition. Mm-hmm. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.